Okay, Boker Tov, everybody. We are learning today Lili Nishmas Carol Rosenberg, Krencha Leia Bas Yehuda. All the people we learned for the Shamash Nevin Aliyah. Okay, so we left off yesterday towards the bottom of Lamed Ches Omud Beis, all the way towards the bottom. Four lines in the bottom. Masavir Yitzchak. What were we talking about yesterday? So we're talking about the idea that certain things you make a Bori Pri Adama on that maybe you make a Shahakal on if you cook them or not. So we brought down various opinions that maybe you go down with Shlokos, maybe you don't go down with Shlokos. So we continue discussing that. Masiv, we're going to question this that we said yesterday that sometimes you go down. So Masiv Rav Yitzchak by Shmuel, Yerokos Sh'adim Yotze V'hem Yidei Chavosu B'Pesach, the vegetables, right, getting it's almost Shloshim Yom L'chnei Achag, right? Yesterday was Tu B'Shvat, so that means we're a month away from Purim, means we're a month away from Pesach. So it's very appropriate that we start discussing Hilchos Pesach. So the idea that you can be Yotze with vegetables for the Karpas on Pesach or for Morer on Pesach, so it says you can be Yotze Yehovah on them with Pesach, Yotze Bahem with those vegetables themselves, Ubekelach Shalem when they're stalk, okay? Avolo kvushim, but not if they have been pickled. Velo shlukim, and not if they've been stewed. Velo mevushalim, and not if they've been cooked. Again, shlukim is more of cooking. It's a longer cooking than mevushalim. Now, why can't you be yotze with these if they're cooked? Mustn't it be that they go down and they're no longer considered the same vegetable? So then why would you make a bari pri adam on them if they're cooked? That's going to be the question. If you're telling me that nothing changes when you have shlukin, when you have them cooked over here, that they remain in their status of being vegetables, so then shlukin, am I low? Why can't you be yotze with shlukin? So obviously shlukin changes it, so therefore it changes the bracha. And how can you tell me you still make a bar pi adam on it? So I said, no. By Pesach, maror is totally different. Shiny awesome, by Pesach, the ba'inan tam maror. In regards to Pesach, you have to have maror. You have to have something that has the taste of maror, i.e. romaine lettuce, which is, according to many, the preferred thing. So the roots have a bitter taste. So it has to have the taste in the item. When you cook it, that's why people that clean their maror and they wash it off, so you don't let it sit in water for 24 hours. If you let your maror, your romaine lettuce, some people, they're so machmir, they want to make sure that it's perfect. They let it sit in the water for 24 hours. That's a problem. That's then called that it's kavush. So therefore, we don't do that. You rinse it off, that's not a problem. That doesn't change it by rinsing it off, getting off any bugs that might be there. That's certainly a chiyuv. But you don't let it soak in the water for 24 hours. So there you need the taste of maror. That's a din in taste of maror. That's like we said yesterday, the matzah. Why cooked matzah is no good? Because it loses the taste of the matzah. So here, the reason why you can't use maror that's been cooked or stewed or pickled or things like that is the ba'in and tam maror v'lek, and it won't have that taste anymore. So that's why, but cooking, stewing doesn't change the bracha. That can still be bari pri adama. So there's no stira on what we said. Amalei Rav Yirmiyah Rav Zeira. Rav Yirmiyah said to Rav Zeira, Rav Yochanan hechi mevarech al zayis moliach. Now we ask another question. How could Rav Yochanan, we said in yesterday's shiur, that he said he made a bracha on the salted zayis. We said, roseach, moliach is kiroseach. We said that if you salt something, so that it's like that you cooked it. So how could he go and make a bracha over here of Bari Pri Adama on the Zayis Moliach? So we answered yesterday, well, it's not a problem. Cooking it doesn't make it go down. But now we're asking, he didn't eat a significant enough amount that he should make a bracha afterwards. Kivan de Shakilo Ligarine, he didn't eat the pit. He didn't eat the seed of the Zayis. So we turn to the Yomid Aleph. Batzalei Shiura, he won't have the total amount over here that he should make a bracha achrona on it. So how, you don't need a kizayis, so then how do you make a bracha achrona? We said, yes, he made a bracha rishona, he made a bracha achrona. But if you take out the seed, he didn't have a kizayis. Kizayis, doesn't that include the seed? So he only ate one. That's a whole separate discussion. Can you eat one of an item? There is an opinion that says if you eat a birya b'fnei atzmo, if you eat an entire thing, there's the old Lay's potato chip commercial that can't eat just one. So that's halachically based, because if you have less than the shear of a kizayis, but it's an entire entity, so some suggest that you make a brach on it. So you have a problem if you eat one grape, assuming one grape is less than a kizayis, so would you make a brach achrona on it? So it's an opinion, it says yes. So therefore, don't eat one grape. Eat more than one grape. And make sure you eat a kizayis, and this way you'll definitely have a chiv to make a brach achrona. Otherwise, you're in a suffix situation. people don't like to put themselves into suffix situations because there's no way to get around it. One opinion says don't make a bracha. One opinion says do make a bracha. Whichever way you go, you're going to be doing something incorrect. So therefore, there are those that are makbid not to have a birya b'finayatz, an entire entity, without making sure that they have more than one in order to have the shear. In any event, Bartzalei Shiori, he had less than the shear over here, so I'm a lay. So they responded, Mi sarvis kizayis gadol b'inan. Who says you need a kizayis gadol? Kizayis b'inani b'inan. You need an average size zayis. That's the shear of a kizayis. And you can either read or delete the parentheses for Ika. And he had it over here because he had the Ha'u, the Aisil, the Kameh, the Rav Yochanan, that Zayis that they brought in front of Rav Yochanan. It's a big one, Zayis Gobo. So that was 1.5 Kizayisim. When you take out the pit, it's 1.4 Kizayisim. Oh, so he still had more than a Kizayis. And therefore it was a Zayis Gobo Haba. The Alpha God, the Shoklul, the Garinuse, even though they took out the seed, Posh Leishiur, he still had enough of a Shia left that it wasn't the problem. If not, where do we see this? The Mishnah in Kalim that tells us Zayis Sharmu, that Zayis that we said in regards to Hilchos Tumah and Tara, Lo Katan Lo Gadol. It's not a large Zayis. It's not a 1.5 shear Zayis. It's not a 0.5 shear Zayis. Ella Benoni. It's a 1.0 shear Zayis. The average standard Zayis. That's the shear. So sometimes, if you have a very large one, even if you remove the seed, you still have more than enough. That's what happened with Rav Yochanan. Vizel Agure, and that's what they call the Agure. What does it mean, the agure type of a zayis? It's really not, the name isn't agure. Ela avruti shemo. That type of a zayis is called the avruti type of a zayis. Others say, amile samruse shemo. Certain type of zayis known as avruti or samruse, whatever. The nu, v'lamo nikwa shemo agure, but we referred to it just now in the Mishnah as the agure type of a zayis. Why? She shamno, its oil is agur bisocho. It's collected with inside of it. An orange doesn't have the juice separate, collected in a separate area. It's all inside the pulp, all inside the meat of the orange. But the grape or an olive, there's a separate collection. You puncture it, and all the juice comes out. Right? You puncture an orange, nothing comes out. It's all in the pulp. So that's why it's called, it's agur besocho. It's girded within inside of it. Okay, fine. Now, let us say that this whole discussion, Nemo Kitanoi, some aren't chorus this over here, that it's Nemo Kitanoi, and we'll read it, that's the gersa that we have. Nemo Kitanoi, let us say this whole thing is a Machlokis Tanoi. What? The Hano Trey Tamide, when you make a Bar Peradamo or a Shahako on the cooked vegetables. So let us say, it's the reason why some don't like to say it's Tanoim over here is because Bar Kapara was a Tana, but his two Talmidim, he was like the last generation of Tanoim. It's hard to argue that his two Talmidim were also Tanoim. So therefore, some would have, let us say, just a Machlokis, but not a Machlokis Tanoim. Yeah, some say that no, they were Tanoim as well. Namaki Tanoim, let us say that this following Machlokis, the Machlokis that we had is based upon the following argument as well. Dano Tre Talmide Daviyasi Kamede Kapara. Bar Kapara was one of the major Bar Pluktus of Rebbe. He was a Tana. And he had two Talmidim over here. And Heviyu Lefon of Kruv V'Durmaskin Upargios. No, they were sitting at the Rebbe's house, and the Rebbe brought in front of them some food. He brought in front of them Kruv, which is cabbage, Durmaskin. Rashi tells us over here, Big Machlok is what this Durmaskin is. He first tells us it's a foreign language word, and he tells us, he saw it in his Rebbe, Rabbeinu Yitzhak Rebbe Yehuda, who referred to it as a certain type of a produce called Akdel Shit. What is that? So Rashi says over here, Avokan Pirish prunes. What we have is prunes. But most of the Mepharshim say it's not prunes, because prunes are Bar Pira 8. So some suggest that it's plums, actually. Others suggest that it's spinach. So amongst different Mepharshim, and whatever it is, it's probably not prunes. Okay. And Rashi himself says it's hard to say that it's this prunes because then its brach would be a Bar Pira 8. And nobody here says a Bar Pira 8. Right. What?
He said plums.
I said, so again, there's the same question on what this prunes is. Okay. And then pargios. Pargios, that's already something that we're somewhat familiar with. We use that in modern Hebrew terms as well. And that's chicken meat. Okay. That's, Rashi says over here that it's, what does Rashi say? Bercha pargios, which is basar of shikorin fardria. Okay. A certain type of a bird. Okay. A robin, some suggest. Okay. In any event, that's what he brought in front of them. Cabbage, durmaskin, which a bracha is unclear, and pargios, which is a shahako. So nasan bar kapara, rishus lecha ben levara. He said, no, one of you be motzi the others. We're not normally knowing to do this unless we're soed, unless we make a sud out of it. So on Shabbos, somebody can be motzi for everybody else. Somebody can make for wine, we can be motzei other people. But you have a bag of potato chips, somebody else has a bag of potato chips, so the normal thing is that you make the bracha on your potato chips, and he makes the bracha on his potato chips. We don't normally motzei somebody with a bracha like that unless you make a suda out of it. So the Mefarshim was saying, the Mestama, they were kovei a suda over here on the sniffle. One could be motzei the other. Okay. Whatever it was, Kafatz, one of them jumped. The Tzlach says he jumped because that's part of the discussion that we have. He was so eager to have one of the things. One of the Talmidim jumped, Ubarach HaPargios, and he had the chicken, which is a shahakal. No doubt about that. So one of them jumped, and in the order of the brachos, he chose to make the bracha on the chicken first, making a shahakal instead of seemingly a borei pri or adoma. So the other Talmud, Liglego Lov Chaveiro, the other Talmud laughed at him, said, how do you make a shakol ahead of a Bari Priyat Dhamma? So Bar Kapar was watching this whole thing unfold, and he laughs, he sees the other Talmud laughing at the first Talmud, right? Second Talmud laughed at the first Talmud who made the shakol first. Liglego Lov Chaveiro, and cost Bar Kapar. Bar Kapar got very upset. We'll see in a moment what it means he got very upset. The nice explanation over here that I like, I remember my Rebbeim often telling us this. I remember once one of my Rebbeim yelling at a Talmud, and he yelled at the Talmud over here, and then he smiled to everybody else over here. Because you're not supposed to get mad. You're supposed to show them that you're mad, but you're not really supposed to get mad. I remember so clearly the Rebbe saying to a Talmud, you're doing something wrong, and then he smiled over here, just to show everybody, I'm not really mad. I want the Talmud to know that I'm not happy. But you don't really get upset. So many suggest that that's what Bar Kapara did over here. Caused Bar Kapara, but he wasn't really caused. He wanted to show them you did something wrong. But you don't lose your cool. A Rebbe that loses his cool, that's not a good thing. So the Rebbe didn't really get angry over here, some suggest. Amar lo. So Amar, he said to the Talmud that laughed. Lo alamavar, he said to both of them. Lo alamavarach ani koes. I'm not mad at the guy that made the shahakol. Although we'll see in a moment he was. He was really mad at both of them. So why didn't he just say so? So he didn't want either one of the Talmidim to be embarrassed in front of the other. So he told this Talmud, it's your fault. So the other Talmud wouldn't be bad. He told this Talmud, it's your fault. So the other Talmud wouldn't get, he didn't want to hurt their feelings. Some suggest that he also wanted to show them that I'm upset at both of you, and if I yell at both of you, just say, in general, I'm mad at both of you. So then each Talmud would say, yeah, he's really mad at the other guy. I didn't really do the horrible thing. So he wanted to let them know, each of them, I'm not happy with what you did, and we'll see why. So he tells the Talmud that was leg on the other Talmud, the second Talmud that laughed at the first Talmud, he said, you're the one I'm mad at. I need koez. I'm not mad at the first guy. El al hamalag leg any koez. I'm mad at the guy that ridiculed the first guy. Im chaverich adomech kibishol toam toam boso beolam. Your friend was so desirous to have chicken. Who knows? A poor kid. He never had chicken before. So he's so desirous to have the chicken. You're making fun of him? Ata amal lig legless olam. Why upset with him? So this is the principle of chaviv adif. If you have things in front of you, first of all, I have to point out, before we're going into the whole discussion now and the next couple of days about which bracha takes kadima. So the rule is, you go to a smorgasbord, you go to a kiddush, and there's many different things. So there's an order, a hierarchy that you should make the brachos. Right? It's always best to wash. If you do wash, then you get around the problem of making some of the brachos. Sometimes you don't even know what you're eating. So you should wash first, but then you have to make sure that you eat a kazayis of bread. If you just wash and you put a piece of morsel in your mouth, they put out like by the washing stations, you take a crouton that's, you know, minuscule, and you put that in your mouth and you think you're potter for more brachos, that's not true. You have to have a kazayis of bread up front. And then you can go and not have to make brachos. Then you kovei suda, and things that are part of the meal, you don't make a brach on. But otherwise, if you don't have the bread, if you don't wash up front, then there's a hierarchy which brachos you have to make. So I point out right now that the hierarchy only takes effect if you're going to eat all those. At the smorgasbord, they have every bracha under the sun, but all you're going to do is have a sip of soda, so you're allowed to just have your sip of soda. You're on a diet. You're not eating any of that stuff. Right? It's a milchika buffet, and you just made yourself fleisha. You're not eating a thing, so you're going to have a glass of soda. So then you're not mechuyev to go make the mazonos first, and then this. If you're only eating one thing, so then you only have to make the bracha on that thing. You're not mechuyev to eat the things that you don't want to eat because they have a higher bracha. But if you're going to eat two things in front of you, you have the pargios and you have the bari pri adama, so he felt that chaviv is adif. So therefore, he was so desirous of the chicken, so then that's the bracha that's more adif to you because you're more desirous of it. That's the one you get to make first under certain situations. And he says, why are you making fun of this Talmud if he's so desirous of chicken that you're making fun of him? Chaviv is adif. That takes precedence over the higher level bracha of Adama. Then Chaziv Yomar, then he said, lo alamalag leg any koes. I'm not mad at the guy that made fun of the first guy. He was mad at him, but he says, that's not the only one I'm mad at. El alamavarach any koes. I'm mad at the guy that chopped and jumped and made the bracha on the pargios. No, Omar, he said, Bar Kapor said, if he doesn't hold me to be a big Talmud Chacham, because I'm dead. Im Chacham or Ein Kan. Okay, he doesn't hold that I'm a big Talmud Chacham. So then he has the right not to ask me my opinion. But I have a great beard. I'm a little bit older than him. Zikna Ein Kan. I'm older than him. He should ask me, what do you do? You ask an older person, what do? You don't jump and do things in front of an older person. Tana, the Gemara tells us that both of them acted inappropriately over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't happy with either of them. Ushtem lo tziyu shnosen. And neither one lived out the years. Again, so assuming that they're Tanoim, they're held to a very, very high standard. Even if they're not Tanoim, so then they're still Tamidim of Bar Kapar, they're held to a high standard. And the Gemara just attests. But Bar Kapar didn't cause this. No, nobody made this. This was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's decision that these two people shouldn't live out the year. And they didn't. Tana, shnem lo tziyu shnosen. No, what's going on over here? What's this machlokes between these two Talmidim? My lab, isn't this what they're arguing about? The Mavarev, the one who jumped and made the bracha on the pagios, saw by shlokos upagios, adama, shlokos cooked vegetables, upagios, which are shahako, both of them are shahako in the Ebedvaro. So the one who jumped and did it on the pagios said, it's two shahakos in front of me, chaviv azadiv. So hilka chaviv adiv, right? You have two pieces of cake in front of you. Right? So which one do you take? So you take the one that's more desirous for you, and you make the bracha on that one. That's chadivus. You make the bracha on the one that's more desirable. Right? There's two schools of thought. You finish off all the stuff that you don't like first, you finish off the spinach first, and then you have the potatoes. Right? The two schools of thought. One says, no, you eat the potatoes because that's the one you like better. So the halachic school of thought says if you have two equal brachas in front of you, you do the one that's more chaviv to you ahead of the one that is less chaviv to you. Lagley, the one that ridiculed him, saw that Shlokos Bar Pi Adama. He said the Shlokos Bar Pi Adama. Paragraph Shachol Yevidvaro. Hilchach Peira Adiv. You make the bracha on the hot. You make the bracha on the one that's a higher bracha rather than the one that's Shachol, which is the more generic quote lower bracha. It's not Chas Hashom to minimize Shachol, but the more specific a bracha is, the more praise it is to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, that's a higher level bracha. All the brachas are important. It's not a knock. It's not an important bracha. No, it says a more specific bracha is a higher level bracha. So if you have a choice, a lower level bracha and a higher level bracha, you make the higher level bracha first. Gemara says, no, that's not it. Look, the kuliyam was shlokus upagyo shahako in the Yibibaro. In fact, everybody holds it. Once it's stewed, it becomes a shahako. So then what's the argument over here? V'achavos b'hai, svara komifligain. This is what they're arguing about. Mara sovim chaviv adiv. The first Talmud who jumped and ate the chicken said, chaviv is adiv. And even though the kruv was cooked, and even though the kruv is a shahakol, but it has the status of being mizayin. It nourishes you. So the pagios aren't going to nourish you. Again, that's what they're assuming. Whether that's true or not today, leave that aside. Not relevant. So they felt that the kruv was more of a staple of a food, and you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the more staple, before you thank him for something that is a luxury type of a food. So therefore, the second Talmud said, I'm laughing at you, they're both shahakos, but you should have made on the one that's Zion and not the one that's Adiv. So two different competing principles, that's what each of the Talmudim was saying. Amrav Zeira, Ki Avinon, Bei Rav Huna, when we were learning by Rav Huna, Amalon, he taught to us, Haner garglide de lifta. Garglide de lifta, Rashi says, are roshe lufasos. Lufasos lifta is turnips. So these are the heads of turnips. So the heads of turnips, for minhu prima rabba. They cut them up, they dice them into little pieces. Rashi says, knivas yerek, slicing, dicing up a vegetable. So he says, even though they're small, they're not the large pieces of turnip, they're small diced pieces of turnips, the bracha is bari pri adama. That's if they're large, prima rabba, if they're diced into large pieces. However, prima zuta, if you really dice it and slice it into very, very small pieces, then you make a shakel niyebidvaro. That's what we learned by Rav Huna. Rav Zeya said, that's what we learned by Rav Huna. When I went to learn by Rav Yehuda, Armelon, he said, no, I disagree. Idi, bar pri adama. Large dices, pieces, and small diced pieces are both bar pri adama. Aye, why did he dice it up? Why doesn't that change the bracha? If it's unrecognizable so much, the hide from minu. Now that he diced it tvei into very small pieces, why did he do that? Kihechi dinam tiktaimi. It was only to sweeten it. You chop it up, it somehow sweetens it, but it's still in its intended form. The idea that Rav Huna had was that if you dice it, you're not in its intended form, and it goes down. You only make the highest level bracha on the item when it's in its intended form. It's not intended to be diced. When you dice it, it loses its status, and you make only a shahakul on it. Whereas Rav Huna held like that. Rav Yehuda said, no, dicing it makes it better, even if you dice it into very small pieces. And that's its intended form. If that's its intended form, that's the bracha, bar pi adam. We were learning by Rav Kahana. Amalon, he taught us Tavshila de Silka, a cooked dish of beets, right? So Silka's beets. So he says, Delo Mavshuba Kimcha, if you didn't put a lot of flour into it. So it just had a little bit of flour. Now flour is grain, mazonos. And we'll see a rule, which I'm sure most people are familiar with. Whenever you have mazonos, you make a borei mazonos, even if it's the minority ingredient. Normally we go after the majority ingredient, tofu v'ikar. But if you ever have mazonos in something, it's always going to make it a mazonos. If you have grain inside something, even if it's only 5%, 10%, mazonos trumps everything else. That's such an important idea. So therefore, that's going to be the question over here. When they went to learn by Rav Kahana, he said, if you have the beets, and that's the major thing, and you just add a little bit of flour, the lo mifshuba kimcha, they didn't put in a lot of flour, bari pri adama. You make the bracha on the adama, on the beets, and not on the grain. The livsa, however, for the turnips, when they added the flour, the mavshuba kimcha, they added a lot of flour, then, tvei, a lot, bari mina mizonos. That's what they originally said, that Rav Kahana said was the halacha. Depends how much flour. If the flour is the majority ingredient, you make a mazonos. If the flour is a minority ingredient, then you make a bar pi adama. You make it on the majority ingredient, which was the beets. However, then he changes mind. The other ramen, no. Idividi bar pi adama. In both of them, you make a bar pi adama. Whoa! How come we both make bar pi adama? Because here we have the exception to the rule about grain, about flour. V'hai d'shodi bo kimcha tvei, L'davuke bi'alma of the law. Even when they put in a lot of flour, the flour is there only for consistency purposes. The flour is a binding agent. It's not there for taste. And this is the halacha l'maisa. If you have something, and you look in the ingredients, and flour is one of the ingredients, but it's not the main ingredient, but the flour is there for taste, so you always make a bari mina mazonos on it. If you have something like licorice, for example, which has flour on it, but the flour there is a binding agent in the licorice, so then most posts will say you make a shahakal on it. There are posts that say you make a mazonos, I think, on licorice, because they say it imparts taste too. But if something is being used for consistency, for binding purposes, then it's tofel, then it's not ikker. And even if it's grain, even if it's from the five grains, you still don't make a bari mina mazonos on if it's only for consistency purposes. But if something is there for taste purposes, albeit it's a minority ingredient, so you have something that has a little bit of flour in it, but it's there for the taste purposes, not for binding, then it always gets a bari mina mazonos, and the others you don't make a bracha on it. So that's the general halacha l'maaseh rule over here, and that's what he said. If it's for binding, then you ignore it. You don't. You look at something else to be the ikker, but if it's there for taste, so then halacha l'maaseh, we always make a bari mina mazonos. You have a dish of beets over here. Tardin is another word for beets. Silk and tardin, the same thing. He tells us some medicinal properties. It's good for the heart and it's good for the eyes. By the way, you're never supposed to follow the advice of the Gemara for medicine. So it doesn't mean that it's intentionally wrong, but this is not halacha l'moshe b'Sinai. This is the state of the art in the Academy of Pumpadisa 2,000 years ago, right? So lav dafka that we agree with that today. Just like in the 1950s, they said that this is a good thing to eat. Well, in the 2020, they said that's a horrible thing to eat, right? Right? When we were growing up, red meat was the best food. Barbecue could do better than that, right? Today they'll say the opposite. It's Hashem, tomorrow they'll say the opposite too. So, so you have to take all of these medical advices in the morning with a grain of salt. Which they said, by the way, was very, very good. That's where the word salary comes from, right? Salary was salt. They used to pay people in salt. That's the word salary, where it comes from. So salt was great. Today we would say salt's not so great. No, and now we're saying salt, a little bit of salt is good. Everybody. So we don't always know the answer to all these things. So certainly we don't paskin like the advice medicine of the Gemara because it's not God-given. This is just them telling us what the doctors of those days said, and they were not right, just like the doctors today aren't always right. Okay, and that's a little aside over here. So they're telling us that the beets are yofel lelev, but totally not. Doesn't mean it's wrong. But it doesn't mean that it's right. That's the whole point. So he said the tardin over here are good for the heart, good for the eyes. Because she came with and certainly if they're good for that, they're good for the intestines. I'm a bayi. Vudi yosef abe tvei, or abe tafi. That's when it's sitting on, Rashi says over here, the oven. It's sitting over there for a while and cooking for a while. The oven tuk. And, the pot's percolating, right? They're making the tuk-tuk is an onomatopoeia. It's one of the words that sounds like buzz, right? Sounds like buzz. So here, tuk-tuk, that sounds like the pot making the noise. I'm Rapapa Pshitali. Rapapa says, it's simple and understood to me, maya de silka, that the water that you're cooking the beets in has the halachic status of silka. So you're cooking a vegetable, and you're making vegetable soup, so in that situation, the bracha that comes out over here is the same as the vegetable. This is totally different than fruits. We said yesterday, by an orange, you don't. So the word is going to ask the question itself, that the fruits is different than vegetables. The vegetables, when you make cooked vegetable soup, so then it still retains the bracha of Adama. Whereas...
You can't see them?
Yeah, that's what he's saying over here. That even the juice, even the cooking it in, is still a bar pri Adama. Mai the sukkah, kisukkah. Umai the lifta, kilifta. The radish soup is like the radishes. Umai the kulu shalki, kikulu shalki. And all the stewed vegetables over here, assuming you make a bar pri Adama on the stewed vegetables, so then you make it on the soup as well.
Carrot juice.
So carrot juice, according to this, would be a dhamma. Yeah. By Rapapa says, Maya de Shifta Mai. This Maya de Shifta, Rashi explains over here, that the Shevis or the Shifta over here is Yerek Shinostin Ma'at Pikdera. You put a little bit of this vegetable called Shevis into a Kedera. Lematik Ba'amma. It's a sweetening agent. Veloli Ochlo. And you don't go and eat this by itself, but you put it in there and then you take it out. And he says it's something called anit, which is usually translated as dill. So you put a little dill in there. You don't eat the dill, but it imparts a taste. So how does this taste work? Do we now say that the taste is imparted, and that's like the juice of a vegetable, and you make a bari pri adama? Or, bari rapapa, yes, maya de shifta mai, lim tuke taima avde, and therefore it's for taste, and you make a bari pri adama on it. O la avure zuamor avilo. Or it just gets rid of the bad taste of something else. And it doesn't impart its own taste. It just removes and nullifies, negates a bad taste. So that's the question that we ask over here. So Toshma, it says Hashevis. That's the Shevis is the shifter, right? So this Shevis over here, this dill, Mishanitna Tam Bikteira Aimba Mishum Truma. So if you have Truma over here, that's dill. So you put it into the dish, it imparts its taste, and then you take it out. So is that still called Truma? Or is that called garbage now? So he says, Ain b'mishum truma. You remove the dill from there, so a non-kohen can eat it. It's no longer truma. It lost its status as truma because it's done being eaten. It's not even called an ochel anymore because nobody eats this anymore. Oh, what do you see? Shmamina limetuke taima avdeila. You see that it goes in there and it puts in a taste over here. So that's the purpose over here, and therefore, Shmamino, yeah, that it puts in a taste, you make a bar pi adama on it, and once its taste is exited from it, then it's garbage. It's no longer roi la'achila, and it no longer has the status of being an ochel. Amar Chiya Barashi, pas snuma. That is pas snuma, the Rosh says over here, brings down from the Rebbeinu Chananel, that it still has tsurasa dinama. It still looks like pieces of bread, but it's small. Rashi says, yevashah's dried up, and they put it into this plate, lishros, to soak in it. And this is the same thing what we say by the sheva shibolim tsnumos dakos that we have by Paro's dream. And you have the dried up kernels, the shriveled kernels. So that's what these tsnumos dakos are. So this is something like a little small piece of bread. You have bread, you have cut it up like in something like a crouton, something like those little pieces of bread.
It's toasted.
Doesn't say it's toasted. It says hard. Doesn't say it's toasted. Toasted is something else. So... it's like a crouton, something like a crouton. Again, there are many different ways. Crouton is one of the interesting brachish questions. It depends how the croutons are made. So here it's just talking about, it's cut up diced pieces of bread. This, imagine, this is that little pieces of bread, which I always tell you is really not right, that the washing stands, they have these tiny, minuscule pieces of bread that we're going to learn today, tomorrow, you're supposed to make a brach on a shleima. So we give these tiny little, you have your whole roll at the table, 20 feet away, and they have these little, minuscule little piece of bread. Everybody takes one. You know, can't take a sticky hand to that table. So everybody takes one. That's really not right. Nope. The best thing to do is to bring the roll with you to the washing stand or have wash near your plate, and then take the whole loaf of bread that they give you, a whole slice of bread that they give you, and make the brach on that. That's the more correct way to do it. Also, then you're going to eat a kazayis, because if you don't eat a kazayis, then everybody says, oh, I washed, I don't have to make another brach the rest of the night. That's just not true. You have to eat a kazayis of bread, and you have to eat a kazayis kedei achilas pras within a certain amount of time. So, you'll have to eat other stuff. You can take a bite of bread, and then have a drink, and have a salad, and as long as you're eating the bread, and you eat the bread within 2 to 9 minutes, the kazayis is a small amount. Because that's like a ninth of a challah roll. So it's not a lot. But you have to eat it within 2 to 9 minutes. So if you don't do that, then you didn't eat the pas and part of yourself from all the other brachos. Anyway, this pas snuma, these small little hard pieces of bread, you have them in a plate, makara. Mevarech lel hamotzi. You make hamotzi on it. Again, the Rosh says you have to have the tzura of the pas. Rabbeinu Yonah says, no, even if it doesn't have the tzura of the pas. So does it have to look like bread or not? That's a machlokas. But you make a hamotzi on it. But this is the opinion of Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, is disagreed upon by Rav Chiya. There's two Rav Chiyas over here, Rav Chiya Bar Ashi and Rav Chiya. Rav Chiya holds that when you make a bracha, you should do it on the shlema, and you break it, but you're holding the shlema at the time that you're botseya, that you take the bracha. So as Rashi says over here, bircha samotzi im prisa saprusa. You make the bracha of amotzi as you break the bread, break off the piece min hapas, v'hai parus v'omidu. So this way it's ready to go. Right, you're making a shako in a glass of soda. You don't leave the soda in the bottle, make the shako, pour the soda. You pour the soda into the glass, you hold the glass in your right hand, and then you make the bracha. So to the bread, you got the whole loaf of bread. Don't cut the loaf of bread up after you make the bracha. Cut it up before you make the bracha. Hold the piece of bread in your hand, and then make the bracha. Tosos on the Amud Beis. We'll get to the Amud Beis. I know you're always in a rush to get to the Amud Beis, babe. We'll get to the Amud Beis. So we'll get to the Amud Beis in a second. Albeit late. So Hamaskiv Lo Rava. Rava says, "Wait a second. Maishno Tznuma Dulo. You're telling me albeit it's Tznuma, the little cut up pieces. They're already cut up. That you don't make the bracha on. Mishum Dechi Kaya Bracha Aprusa, because you want to make the bracha right when you cut it up. So he says over here, Kokaya. The prusa is already cut up. So Alapas Nami Kiko Gomra Aprusa Gomra. So how does it help you say, oh, don't make the bracha? Here we're talking about ultimately that you had the choice of making over here the bracha on the little tznuma pieces or on the big piece. So he says, make it on the big piece because you want to make it on the big piece. He says, but you're cutting up the big piece. How is that any different than the tznuma? According to you, you cut up the loaf of bread, you make it on a little piece anyway. So why not make it on the little tznuma? That's the question. That's ultimately the question. Ella, on my Rava, Rava says, no, what you should do is you take the challah roll in your hand. Halacha ma'aseh beni, Shabbos. You take the challah roll in your hand. Mivarech, you make the bracha on the intact challah rolls. On Shabbos you have two, lecha mishnah. V'achakach botseya. And then you break it up afterwards. So what do we do? Tosus discusses over here. So what do we do? So everybody here probably has the custom. They take the knife and they run it across the challah rolls. And that's to fulfill the idea. It should be as ready to cut. You sort of say, make yourself a simon. Where I'm going to cut. So you minimize any delay. And that's the minhag that we have. That people go and slice either one or both. That's a whole separate discussion. You cut both of the challah rolls and only cut one of the challah rolls. So you cut a little incision, not enough to break it in half because you need lecha mishnah. So on Shabbos, you have a problem with lecha mishnah. On a weekday, they say, no, cut it a little bit more. On a weekday, when you don't need lecha mishnah, so then if you have a rye bread that you're now going to cut up, it takes you 5 seconds, 10 seconds to cut off a piece of the rye bread. So then you really should cut it beforehand, almost have it split because we do have the idea of a shlema. So cut it significantly. Don't just make if you take a microscope out, you can see that the top layer has been cut. But when you do it on a weekday, really cut it. Again, if you have a sandwich, you don't have to cut anything. It's already cut. But if you have a loaf of bread in front of you, so make the bracha of the whole loaf. But if you're cutting it on a weekday when you don't need to have lecha mishnah, so then you can really cut into it. And then you just slice the last part off and make the bracha and then finish the slice and put it in your mouth. That's on a weekday. On Shabbos, you want to have the full lecha mishnah, so you just make a symbolic incision, or you make somewhat of an incision so I know where to cut, and then you'll be able to cut it much faster. That's the halacha l'maaseh. Do you cut one or do you cut both on Shabbos? That's all machlokes. We'll have a little bit of an introduction to that in the Gemara later on, so we'll leave it for then.
Does the delay make a difference? How much of a delay?
So yeah, you shouldn't have any hesach hadas or any hefsek. So it depends.
2 minutes, is that the...
So most of the time, if you didn't have a hesach hadas, if you talked, if you said one word, people don't realize, if you say one word, that ruins the bracha. Unless it's nogeya. Pass me the salt. Bring me the salt. That's not a hefsek. Bring me the knife. We left the knife inside. Or we'll see. Feed the dog. Because you're not allowed to eat before your dog eats. So that's also saying somebody, feed the dog. To give the dog water, no. Water, we come first. But the food, the dog comes first. So anything that's essential for that thing is not considered a hefsek. But if you say, oh, did you hear what happened in Israel today? So, boom, we got to make a new bracha. Got to make a new bracha. Even one word. Any interruption is an interruption. You have to make the bracha again. Okay.
Not laughter, right?
No, I don't think so. Any word. Shouldn't talk.
There's man that
So yeah, at some point, if you have a person sitting there, you have 25 people washing. So you tell all the people that somebody has to wash first. So they all sit at the table quietly. They don't talk, but you know, they don't have to close their eyes and they should concentrate. I'm about to wash. Okay. So Rabbi says, "Mubarach achach botzer." Na'adai avdik Rav Chia. Na'adai they did like Rav Chia. They cut it. Rabbanan avdik Rava, and the Rabbanan said to do like Rava, only do a little incision. Am Ravina, Am Liaim. So he said, Am Liaim Avoch. So Ravina said, my mother's father told Am Liaim Avoch. My mother's father told me avdik Rav Chia. They did the Rav Chia. The Am Rav Chia. Sorry, she dechal a bracha. I'm a pas. You have to have the bracha at the time that the pas is ready to go. The Rabbanan have the Kirava. And the Rabbanan, however, they did like Rabba, Vilchus like Rabba, we pass like Rabba, that we make the bracha, and then we cut it, but like I said, we do a little symbolic incision to show that, you know, we want to be able to make the bracha as fast as possible. Okay, we eat it as fast as possible after the bracha. Itmar, they asked the base medrash the following shayla. Hey, v'yulifneyem pesisin ushleimim. They brought in front of the person, they bring out to the table, right? They're at a wedding. They have, cut up bread. They bring the challah from the huge challah and the chassan, cut up. He never cut it up. The waiter cut it up. He makes a little incision for the picture and then the waiter takes it and all of a sudden it comes out 10 seconds later all diced. So they have that and they have little challah rolls. So which one should you do? Psisin or shleimim? Hevil of them psisin or shleimim. Again, I point out, and just brought down the Shulchan Aruch, that's if you want both. Let's say you only want the sliced bread, that's more appetizing to you. You're not going to eat the shleimim. So you're allowed to make the bracha on the psisin. Again, all of these priorities, hierarchies, and brachas is only if you're planning on eating both. You really don't like the mizonos there. You're on a low-carb diet, and we got this delicious chocolate cake, and you're on a diet, and all you want to do is have the salad. I can't imagine anybody ever doing that, but supposedly people do that. They bring out the chocolate cake, they bring out the salad. So the salad's a bar priyat dharma, and the chocolate cake's a mizonos. Of course you make the mizonos first. I'm machbid on this. I'm very, very machbid on this. Always have the chocolate cake before the salad, because that's the right thing to do. Except if you're not going to eat the chocolate cake, then you're allowed to have the salad alone. So you only have the salad, and that's it. Don't tell me bracha's hierarchy, you have to have the chocolate cake. I pass it like that, but that's not the way Shulchan Aruch passed it. Shulchan Aruch says, only if you're eating both of them, do you have to make the mizonos first. But if you're not eating both of them, I always point that out, because sometimes people ask me, I really don't like that. So if you really don't like it, don't eat it. Then this shaila doesn't come up.
Is this 2,000-year-old rules, or this is current rules?
This halacha l'maisa. The chocolate cake always takes precedence. If you're going to have the chocolate cake, I have to put that in to be honest. If you're going to have the chocolate cake, then you should have the chocolate cake first. I always go to the dessert table first. But you're not mechuyev to do that. Because right now, it's also right now, the fact that you're going to have the chocolate, in all seriousness, if you're going to have the chocolate cake for dessert, you're allowed to make the bracha on the salad first. So I'm talking about you're eating both of them right now. So then the mizonos takes precedence. That's why you always see me go to the dessert table first. I'm just a tzaddik. It's purely because I'm a tzaddik. Okay, itmar. Hevil if name psisim shleim. They give you a small piece and a whole piece. So I'm Rav Huna. Mevarach la psisim upotus shleim. You make it on the psisim. Now here, I have to add additional information. The psisim are larger than the shleim. We think psisim means small pieces. It doesn't mean small pieces. You have a large slice of bread. And then you have these small little challah rolls. Right? They have small little challah rolls. They're kazayis, a small little challah roll, okay? And a large slice of rye bread. So that's the psisin that they're talking about over here. So he says, Rav Huna says, Mavarech la psisin, you make the bracha on the piece, which is larger, upotur is a shleim. So larger is better than whole. These are principles. Intact is better than, larger is better than intact. That's what Rav Huna said. Rav Yochanan Amar, no, shleima mitzvah min amucha. Shleima is a chashivas to it. You make it on the shleima. Avo prusa shochita. But here's another. These are all halacha lemaisa. Avo prusa shochita. You have a smaller piece over here, or a piece that's made from wheat. Ushleima min asorim, barley. Now barley is lower level than wheat. So then, divrei hakol. Everybody agrees. Mevarech la prusa shochita. Upotus shleima shosorim. The prusa of chitin is preferable. That's a higher item. Again, if you're intending to eat both. So then make the bracha, hamotzi, on the wheat rather than on the barley. Even though both are hamotzi, but as long as you're intending to eat both right now, not that you'll eat one later on. If you're intending to eat both right now, and the choice is which one should I make the bracha on, so make it on wheat always over barley. And this is machlokas tanoi. Tarmim batzel katan shalim. When you have to take off truma for a kohen, right? So you take off the truma for the kohen, you give him the best. You're supposed to give to the kohen the best. So what's the best? So the first Tana over here says, you give him a batzel katan shalem, giving him a smaller but intact onion is better. Avalo chatzi batzel gadol, not a larger one, but it's a half of a larger one, even though it's larger. So he paskins smaller, intact, is better than larger, not intact. That's Tana Kama. If you don't know, no. Ki elu chatzi batzel gadol. Better to give him the batzel gadol. He's getting more. One is worth a dollar, one is worth 50 cents. So don't tell me the 50 cents is nicer. Give him the dollar. That's better. My lab all committee. Isn't this exactly what they're arguing about? The Marisovar Choshev other. One says the Choshev one, the whole one is more adif, and the other one says the Marisovar Sholim adif. The Choshev one is the more expensive one. That's adif. The larger one is more adif, and the other one says no. The Sholim, the concept of complete is a nicer thing. Someone says no. Hey Chadika Kohen, if there's a coin right there, so there's no question of spoilage. So then Kuli Amlo Pligi the Choshev adif. You give him the larger one. What would he rather have? The dollar or the 50 cents? Of course he'd rather have the dollar. So everybody agrees that the coin's there. The cut one, it's larger, it's going to spoil faster. So if the coin's there, it's not a question of spoiling. It's going to eat it right now, so you give the coin the larger one. Keep leaking the lecker coin. They're only arguing over here when they don't have a coin. So then, is it pay to give them the larger one? Albeit it's going to spoil faster. I'm taking off Chuma, but it may spoil. Or give them the smaller one, because that will last longer. It's not. And there's a Mishnah in Menachos as well as in Trumas. So call Markum Shesh Kohen, if there's a coin there, Tormina Yafa. You always give him the best. What the best is defined is, which is more valuable. The call Markum Shein Kohen, then Tormina Sky. Then it's better to give him the one that will last. That's the first Tana's opinion. That's exactly what we just said. Ruda Omer, no, ain't a Tormina Yafa. You always give him the best one. If he's not there, that's his loss. But you can't not give the coin the best one. No, he may not benefit from it, but you did the mitzvah of giving the coin the best one, even though he's not there. A Yari Shemayim tries to do both. Now, what is this going back on the Shlema versus the Prusa? So, Yari Shemayim, this is going to also come into Pesach night. On Pesach night, we start off, our minhag is to use three matzos, right? The Vilna Gaon only use two. So, our minhag is to use three matzos. So, we make the motzi on the Lecha Mishnah. Then you drop the bottom one and you make the Alachilas matzo only on the top one and the broken one, the middle broken one. So that's exactly what we're saying over here. The Yari Shemayim, a person who's a God-fearing person, he doesn't want to put himself in machlokas, he does both. Yoti Deshtem, how does he do that? And who is this? Umanu Ma'abre the Ravina. Ma'ar, the son of Ravina. The Ma'abre the Ravina, what does he do? He would meniach prusa besocha shlema ubotseya. He would take both of them. Why get involved in machlokas over here? I'll pick them both up, make the brach on both of them. He inserted underneath the top one, the full one, the broken one. And this way he's botseya, so to say, on both of them. Why you have to pick one versus the other? Why get involved in machlokas? Pick them both up and make the brach on both of them. That's what he did. Tani Tanaka made the Reb Nachman Yitzchak. One of the Amoraim learned the brises in front of Reb Nachman Yitzchak. Reb Nachman Yitzchak is an Amora. So this Tana over here, we always say, is an Amora who learned brises. So Tani Tana, this Amora who's learning brises in front of Reb Yitzchak, learned the following brisa. Miniach ha-prusa b'soch ha-shleba. Exactly this would both say ha-mavarech. He would do the same thing. He said that you should take the prusa, put it underneath. The toke means underneath. You can't put it inside. You don't hollow out. You put it underneath, and then you both say on both of them. You make the bracha on both of them. Fine. Amalei. Ma shimcha. So yes, what's your name? So Amalei. Now, how do you pronounce the next word? So the article tells you to pronounce it Shalmon, which is based upon the Rashash, who says in Hosea, there's a person that's known as Shalmon. It says, Kishod Shalman. Okay? So this is Shalman. Okay? The Radak says Shalman was a well-known robber, bad guy. He was an enemy over there. So Shalmon is the name. But if you look in the Gilead Hashas, so he brings down from Megillas Rus that it's Salmon with the Vav. One of the descendants of the lineage of David HaMelech, one of the earlier legacy of David HaMelech. So that's Salmon. So whether you pronounce it Shalman, Shalmon, Salmon, whoever it was, that was the Talmud's name. Amalei, Shalomato. So you play on his word, Salmon, Shalmon, and says, you are creating peace over here. Ushlema Mishnasecha. Another play on the word Shalom. And you're complete over here, that you satisfy both opinions over here. Shasam to Shalom, Beinatam Hidim. You cause peace over here. You make it on the Prusa, you make it on the Shail. So it's a beautiful idea to try to cause peace. Amar Papa, Hakomodim bePesach. Everybody agrees on Pesach. Shemniach Prusa b'Socha Shleima. This is what we do. We take the middle broken matzah and we hold it with the upper matzah and we make the Alachilas matzah on both of them. Ubatzeya. My timer, why? Because lechemoniksiv. Here it's very appropriate. To bedavka take a broken piece of matzah is really lechemoni. Lechem, the bread of affliction, or the lechem of poor people. There's a number of things. Lechem she'onim alav dvarim harbe. The many understandings of what the word oni means. One of them is the poor person's bread. A poor person has a broken piece of matzah. He has to put away some for supper because he doesn't have any other food. So he can't eat the whole thing. A rich guy, take out more, got plenty. So he takes a whole piece. So the poor person takes a broken piece. Oh, so it's very appropriate on Pesach. We're eating lechem oni, so therefore it's symbolizing a poor person's bread. So we take the prusa of bedavka.
I'm sorry? And it costs
$40 a pound. Yeah. That's a different discussion. Omar Abba said, "Ubishabis chayiv adam litzoa al steki koros." On Shabbos, you need lechem mishnah. My time, where to get that from? Lechem mishnah ksiv in next week's parsha. So about the month with lechem mishnah, the whole idea. In last week's parsha, we had it also. Last week's parsha. Omar Vashi chazina leil Rav Kahana. Rav Vashi said, "I saw Rav Kahana dinoki tarti ubatz chada. I saw Rav Kahana take both, but only break one." Rav Zeira, habibatsa akula sherusa. Rav Zeira, what he did was he broke off a huge piece for the entire meal. Took a huge chunk. Okay? So I'm a Ravina Ravashi. Whoa, looks like a gotten. He cuts off a big piece. That's why, by the way, it says the balabayah should be. You can honor somebody, mechabit somebody to make kiddush. But it says the balabayah should cut the bread. Why? Because anybody else, they may be stingy. They're saying, oh, I don't know how much bread he has. The Balabai says, I can cut a nice slice over here, give plenty of bread to everybody. So that's an interesting idea. The Balabai should, you mechabit other people for things, the Balabai should cut the bread because he's going to cut up a lot for everybody. But somebody else says, I don't know how much bread he has. I'll cut up little tiny pieces. Balabai cuts off a big piece. And that's what he did. He cut off a huge piece over here. I'm like, even the kol yomba, lo kovit hachi. Well, even the kovit, lo mischazi kavsinusa. He doesn't look like a glutton because every day he doesn't do this. He doesn't cut off a huge chunk every day. Every day he cuts off a little piece, like a normal person. On Shabbos, he cuts off this huge chunk, so he's showing everybody the chavivas for the mitzvah of eating on Shabbos. The chavivas on Shabbos. So how many do you cut? So this is a famous machlokus over here. The Vilna Gaon says you cut both at every meal. You cut two at every meal, and the simple understanding of Shulchan Aruch is you take two in your hands, but you only have to cut one. Each person should follow their own minhag. It's perfectly fine to cut both. It's perfectly fine to cut one. Whatever your minhag is, that's what you should do. Ravami Ravasi, Kiav Misrami Lu Rifta de Eruva, Mivarin Halav Moshe Lechem in Oretz. When they were given to hold the Eruv Chatzeros, box of matzahs that they put it in somebody's house. So that's where you make an Eruv Chatzeros. It's not just enough to have an enclosed area. If it's a public area, you all have to, quote, be one person. You become one person by putting in matzah or challah on behalf of everybody. So they had to put that in the rabbi's house. So they put it in their house. So they would say, since this is already the Eruv doing a mitzvah, Eruv Chatzeros, let's also eat it on Shabbos. Since we did one mitzvah on it already, let's do another mitzvah on it as well. And this is a very common minhag. We don't do this for Eruv Chatzeros, but we do this for the Erev Tavshilin. And many people have the custom when they make an Erev Tavshilin over here, so they go and they bake the bracha on the Erev Tavshilin. Now, you can't eat it before Shabbos, right? You have to have it intact before Shabbos to allow you to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos. But once Shabbos comes around, the beautiful minhag is they use it for the lechem mishnah, for those that don't cut both. Right? So they use it for lechem mishnah on Friday night, and they cut the other one. They use it for lechem mishnah on Shabbos afternoon, they cut the other one. And then they eat it by Shalosh Shudis. That's one beautiful minhag. Others have the minhag that they cut it bedavka on Friday night. Some don't like the minhag to cut it on Friday night because sometimes you make the Shabbos early, and then you cut it early, and then you may not have it around. So therefore, some suggest that the optimal time to do it is either at Shacharis, by the morning meal, or by Shalosh Shudis. Again, the idea is that you're combining it. So zealous to do a mitzvah one way, you want to do more mitzvahs with that item. This is a chetzah shel mitzvah. You want to show the appeal, the chavivas for it, and therefore you do the mitzvah of Erev Tavshilim by also Erev Chatzeros, and then you also use it for Lechem Mishnah on that Shabbos. A beautiful idea. We'll stop over here. Everybody have a wonderful day.